one. Apologies for the delay. The chairperson will join the meeting shortly. He's experiencing problems. Thank you very much.
I just want to check with the secretariat if we have most of our members so that we can begin. Amanda, can you just confirm that?
Good morning, Chair. Yes, we can start the meeting. We have about 5 members on the platform, including yourself.
Oh, okay. No, thank you very much. Honorable members, let me take this opportunity to welcome you in this meeting and also welcome the minister together with the officials of the department. As you know that most of some of our members have traveled on an international study tour to Germany. I hope then that that will not cause any problem for our meeting. I now wish to say that the meeting is duly opened, and I will ask the secretariat to
Recording
deal
in progress.
with the credentials. Amanda,
Thank you, Chair. I have
can you
received
please?
a
Yeah.
I have received apologies from Honorable Bibi, Honorable Nyambi, Honorable Ntsube, Honorable Ngwenya, as well as Honorable Labuskaghni. Thank you, Chair.
Those are the only apologies you have.
Correct, Chair.
All right. Okay, no, thank you very much. Is that another register for apology?
Yes, I want to register Honorable Mukause political commitment apology.
Thank you, Honorable Magwala. That is duly noted. Can I just confirm, Amanda, if the quorum of this meeting is duly constituted?
Chair, there are 5 members on the platform, and since we won't be adopting anything, the meeting can resume.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Now that that has been said and done, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome specifically the Minister of the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies, together with his team, Honorable Monji Gungubele. Today, we want to get a presentation from your good office in respect of the two bills before Parliament. I now invite you, Honorable Minister, to migrate to the microphone and address the Select Committee on Public Enterprises and Communications. Minister, the platform is yours. The minister will also help us to introduce his team.
Chair,
Yes, Lebu.
Lebohang can hear the PLO for public enterprises. Just to indicate that we actually have the Minister of Public Enterprises, Minister Gordhan, together with his team, ready to give an update on the unbundling, I mean, the restructuring at Eskom, as per the program. I thought I should perhaps check if we are not on the same page.
There must have been a miscommunication there. I think I've been sent two packages, but it's fine. I see that the secretariat have sent me something to do a correction with that. Honorable Minister Pravin Gordhan, I'm sorry for that small glitch. So we will invite Minister Gordhan to do the presentation in respect of that unbundling at Eskom. Minister, I invite you to present to the Select Committee on Public Enterprises and Communication. And once again, apologies for that glitch. Over to you, Minister. Is Minister on
Good
the
morning.
platform?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Minister.
Good morning to you, members of the committee and other colleagues and members of the public or media that are part of this meeting. I really got a shock when you referred to the two bills. I was wondering what was going on. But thanks for giving us this opportunity. Just a brief background, and then I will ask Mr. Donald Nkadimeng from the department to take you through that presentation. He's accompanied by the acting DG. So this is the DPE presentation to yourselves as a committee. And by way of background, Chairperson, you will recall that at the beginning of 2019, the President set up a advisory team of about 6 or 7 persons who were constituted by engineers, financial people, and individuals that are familiar with the developments globally on the energy front, and in particular, what was happening with public utilities like Eskom. That task team reported to the president and indicated that the modern trend is for utilities to be disaggregated, to no longer operate as vertically integrated entities by and large, meaning that generation, transmission, and distribution are all belonging to the same family, so to speak, or the same entity. And later in the year, the DPE was directed to develop a roadmap for Eskom, which leads it towards the restructured Eskom that we're going to talk about today. Targets were then set for the Eskom board and management in terms of various milestones. And in terms of the roadmap, the first task that the board and management of Eskom had at the time was to separate the transmission part of Eskom into a separate entity, 100% owned by the state, but falling broadly within the Eskom holding company. Of course, in March 2020, that process was interrupted by the COVID pandemic, and we are all familiar about or with the fact that that interruption delayed matters to an extent. The first milestone set was to undertake whatever processes were necessary in order to arrive at what was called functional separation of transmission by the end of 2021. Some of that was achieved, some of that is still to be achieved. And what is important to note here is that all of these processes are subject to licenses that are issued by NERSA. And for the record, there are three different licenses involved. And it's only over the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that NERSA has finally issued all of the relevant licenses to Eskom for the transmission entity to begin to work. Now, the restructuring process, and you'll notice me using the word restructuring as opposed to unbundling. Some of the commercial financial people reminded us that a company is normally unbundled into separate parts for the parts to be disposed of in one way or another. And in this case, we're not doing that. So we now, from now onwards, be referring to the restructuring of Eskom. And that would mean that some 2,000 odd people within Eskom need to find their way within the transmission entity or the transmission company, as it's now called. Secondly, that there must be a separation of accounts. Thirdly, that there have to be an internal memorandum of incorporation. Fourthly, there has to be compliance with various provisions of the PFMA and the Companies Act as well. And fifth, Eskom on an annual basis is also required to publish a transmission development plan. And that transmission development plan, in terms of the latest numbers, involves the investment in 14,000 kilometers of new transmission lines, particularly to connect renewable plants that are now being built or have already been built in parts of the Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, and Western Cape as well. So you will, one will hear a lot in the public domain about the limitations placed on connecting these renewable investments to the main grid, so to speak. But this is obviously work in progress. So what we will be reporting to you today is what progress has been made by Eskom in terms of restructuring. From a departmental point of view, when we reviewed the progress in recent times, we've brought to the attention of the board of Eskom that we believe that the timelines that the internal teams of Eskom are working on are far too elongated. They seem to lack urgency and the necessary drive to complete as many processes as possible during this administration. But equally importantly, Chair, you'd be aware of the Electricity Regulation Act Amendment Bill, which is also, I think, in Parliament, and which will, to a significant degree, also change the electricity industry in South Africa, where there will be greater participation, both by the state, but also particularly by the private sector, as is already happening on the generation side of the business. Secondly, it will create the equivalent of a buying office, and Mr. Nkadimeng will take you through some of that in a moment, which can purchase electricity from the cheapest possible source. And in that sense, Eskom will have to compete with other private players as well. Thirdly, there'll be the systems operator, which we currently have, and which is world-class in terms of the skills and the capability that they actually have within the systems operator, so that they ensure that there's a balance between supply and demand. And the purpose of that is to ensure that the integrity and the stability of the existing grid is sustained, notwithstanding whatever happens to a particular unit at a particular power station. And the purpose of load shedding is to create a balance between supply and demand. In other words, if the supply is dropping because the unit has failed somewhere, then demand is curtailed by utilizing one or other stage of load shedding itself. So that's the systems operator. So the transmission company of South Africa, as it is called, has as its primary purpose the development of an adequate grid, as we call it, to convey electricity from where it is generated to where it is needed. And there are all sorts of technicalities like wheeling charges, buying from the grid, but also supplying into the grid. And Mr. Nkadimeng will explain some of that as well in a moment. And like many other countries, that's the kind of capability that the transmission grid is required to actually have. The last component, which we've given consent for in terms of the PFMA, in terms of the creation of a separate company, is the distribution company. And in this regard, consent has been given for the separation of distribution into its own company, still within the overall umbrella of Eskom. And what is currently being worked on as far as the distribution entity is concerned is the business and financial case for distribution. And this is an area that requires careful attention, because of the challenges that we have as a country in terms of municipal debt, in terms of the culture of payment, and in terms of illegal connections and other disruptive tendencies amongst the public, which all of us should be cooperating to eliminate so that we have a sustainable entity as a whole, but also a sustainable distribution entity. Distribution also is the connection point, so to speak, between the transmission grid and the municipal grid, so to speak. And the role of municipalities in maintaining the electricity infrastructure within a municipality, but also refurbishing transformers and substations and renewing them where it is necessary after 20, 30 years of utilization, is as important as the restructuring process. And there again, as a country, we've fallen short because municipalities are not undertaking the kind of investments that are required in terms of sustaining, not only in a financial sense, but also in an engineering sense, the kind of infrastructure that municipalities have. Now, in the Constitution, in Schedule 5B, reticulation of electricity, meaning the what we would call distribution of electricity within a municipality, is the power given constitutionally to local government. However, not all municipalities have the capability or the infrastructure that's required in order to play that role. And Eskom, particularly from the distribution side, has been entering into different types of partnerships, both for the purposes of ensuring that the appropriate revenue is collected from citizens and businesses, but also to ensure that any refurbishing that is required of the electricity infrastructure can in fact be undertaken by engineers from within Eskom itself. So there is, if you like, a hybrid situation that we have, where approximately 50% of businesses and households receive their electricity through municipal infrastructure and distribution, but the other 50% plus minus, so under 50%, receives the electricity directly from Eskom itself. So there's going to be, over the next 10 years or so, very significant changes in the electricity industry in South Africa. And as all of the colleagues will know, that production of electricity contributes 41% of the total carbon emissions that South Africa has. And therefore, the management of the transition in terms of the fuel that is actually used, in terms of IRP-19, which is currently being updated into IRP-23, becomes quite critical in terms of its compatibility with the kind of commitment South Africa has made. Now, yesterday, the President addressed the United Nations General Assembly and repeated the commitment that South Africa has made in terms of its contribution to limiting the damage caused by climate change, but also the decarbonization processes within our own country. And part of that would be the contribution that the production of electricity makes to that overall objective that has been set by government at COP28, but repeated yesterday at the United Nations itself. So, Chair, we will take you through the broad outlines of where the restructuring of Eskom stands. There's a lot of detail that is still being worked on, and we would like to come back to you in the next few months, perhaps before the end of the year and before Parliament goes into the summer recess, and provide a further update to you and other committees in Parliament on where we stand on this very important project. So with those opening remarks, which were hopefully helpful, let me, with your consent, hand over to Mr. Nkarime, if that's okay with you. Chair, are you there? Honourable members, can you hear us?
Apologies for that, members. The chairperson is experiencing network problems, but he is still on the platform.
So should we continue?
Yes, please continue, Honorable Minister.
Yes, Minister, please do continue. My network here is very much...
Okay, so I'm handing over to Mr. Nkarime, and Mr. Tekane will be helping him with the run of the presentation. Mr. Nkarime.
Thank you, Minister. Good morning, honorable members, and good morning to everyone who's on the call. All protocol observed. I'm going to take you through the restructuring update. If you can go to slide number 2, just to look at the outline of the presentation. Demo slide 2. The presentation, this is the outline of the
it's
presentation.
It's moving on my side, and I'm not sure why. I think I meant sorry, but it's moving on my side. Is it not moving on your side?
It moved. We are on the table of contents.
Okay. Is that in order?
All right. That's slide number 2. Honorable members, where it outlines what we're going to cover in the presentation, starting with what the roadmap was saying, the legal transmission, the legal separation of transmission business, achievement and progress to date, the support required for restructuring the transmission, restructuring the distribution, progress to date, restructuring generation, progress to date, and right at the end, we look at what are the timelines that we are envisaging from the department. If you can go to slide number 3. The slide number 3, it's what the roadmap was envisaging, wherein you started with the structure, how ESCOM was looking like, and then you go into functional separation, where you're separating the 3 businesses, and then the legal separation, wherein you're going to have ESCOM Holdings and the 3 subsidiaries being generation, transmission, and distribution. Next slide. This slide just provides the timelines that were envisaged on the roadmap. However, due to some dependencies, you will see that some of these timelines were not met. Hence, we have new timelines at the back, which we are looking at pushing to accelerate or expedite this process. Next slide. This slide just provides the current corporate structure, which the business is going to look like. ESCOM Holdings with 3 subsidiaries. So you will see that the shareholder will have 100% ownership of Eskom Holding, which in turn will have 100% ownership of the subsidiaries being generation, transmission, and distribution. The next slide. Now, the roadmap envisages that when we start with the restructuring, transmission business was the first one to be separated. So we're going to report back in terms of what is the progress with regard to the transmission. The legal separation of transmission business into a subsidiary of Eskom Holding at the moment is at an advanced stage. Why am I saying that? In 2021 December, the National Transmission Company of South Africa was incorporated as a subsidiary of Eskom Holding. That is a milestone that was achieved in December 2021. Following that, they made an application to NERSA because the application that was applicable was the application from Eskom Holding. But now as a subsidiary, they need their own license, which is going to cover operations, trading, import and exports. Then subsequent to that, in July, NERSA approved only one license, which was talking to the operation of the transmission system. They did not approve the license for trading, import and export, but there were developments last week, which I will talk to that in the next slides, where NERSA has since approved those licenses. The next slide. So with the approval of the license, obviously we need to see the transmission company now assuming the role of the TSO. However, I must indicate that for that to happen, there is still what we call a requirement that must be fulfilled in terms of the lender's consent. Lenders have to give a consent that transmission company need to be separated. So that consent hasn't been approved or hasn't been received. Lenders are working on it. And the next thing that I must highlight, members, is that when the NTCSA was incorporated as a subsidiary, it assuming the role is not, it was not going to assume the role of the transmission system operator yet. For that to happen, the ERA, which is in Parliament, have what we call transitional arrangements, which are going to afford the transmission company of South Africa to assume the role of the transmission system operator. At the moment, they have the license which they can operate the business of a transmission company, but not as the TSO until the ERA is finalized. But I'll talk to that in the next slide. So the next thing, the approval of the license, there was another requirement that because of the fact that in the past, transmission business was designated as the buyer of energy from independent power producers in terms of Section 34. With the incorporation of the transmission subsidiary, that right now has to be transferred to the National Transmission Company of South Africa. So that process, the Minister of DMRE has approved that and then sent that approval to NERSA for concurrence. So at the moment, Eskom is waiting for NERSA to concur on the designation of the National Transmission Company of South Africa as a designated buyer or from independent power producers. Another milestone that needs to be achieved, which is very critical, is the appointment of the National Transmission Company of South Africa Board of Directors. That is underway. It's a process that is under consideration of the department. It's just following the governance process to approve that final recommended Board of Directors of the Transmission Company of South Africa. So the other point here, it just talks to the amendment of the ERA, which has been consulted and now is in Parliament, which is going to go, is awaiting the approval for it to be promulgated into law. But see, the next slide, the one that you are at, it just talks to what is in place with regard to the transmission business. All these activities have been finalized. So what is key is that the promulgation of the IRA into law, the lender's consent, the appointment of the board are critical activities which are missing at this stage. And then the process underway to fulfill those activities. If you can go to slide number 9. So I spoke about the lender's consent, which I said lenders need to provide their consent on the restructuring of transmission. The process is at advanced stage because engagement happened. Eskom has provided or finished the lenders with the necessary documentation. So obviously the lenders have to go through their credit committees to approve and provide that lender's consent. So that process is unfolding. The timeline there, it depends on the lenders, but we're anticipating that by the end of the month, that could be finalized. So we will provide that further update when we receive it, when we provide the update, as Minister indicated, before the Parliament goes to recess. The servitude is another issue that had to be handled. Then again, it has moved with Eskom having agreed in terms of how servitudes are going to be handled. So these are some of the activities which were finalized. So the agreement between Eskom and TCSA, the subsidiary for operation on shared servitude, is in place. So all these activities which are critical for ensuring that now we transfer the operation into the national company, National Transmission Company of South Africa, have been completed. So what I've been talking about, it talks to the functional separation. However, the end point is the legal separation, where now the process of separating or restructuring the transmission is completed. So for it to be completed, these are some of the activities that are happening. Staff transfer, which is what is going to be required for staff now to be transferred into a subsidiary, which is the transmission subsidiary. There's an engagement that is happening. And then with that, there are necessary consultation that must happen with labor under what we call the restructuring and consultative forum. Eskom is engaging on that platform. The systems, the SEPs, have been updated. And then there's a readiness for them now to migrate into this structure. And the workforce plan was approved with the recruitment of energy market function at an advanced stage. The next step. This slide just summarizes all these critical activities that needs to be completed for the legal separation of the transmission company as a subsidiary of Eskom Holding. The due diligence, which was completed right at the beginning, then there is a need for a merger agreement between the company, Eskom, and the NTCSA. That is signed, and the implementation is anticipated at the end of December this year. And the existing MOI is being refined to include the amendments which were made to the NTCSA. All PFMA approvals were obtained in order to approve the transmission being separated from Eskom Holding as a subsidiary. There are two PFMA, one for establishment, and the other one is the transfer of assets and other things to the NTCA. So those PFMAs were approved by both ministers. And the service contract between Eskom Holding and the NTCSA is in place. So the next slide just summarizes what are the final steps which were completed in order to facilitate the legal separation of the transmission company. In terms of the energy markets, the consent of restructuring was obtained from the hydroelectric Aurabaza as one of the service providers where Eskom is importing electricity. Future capacity contracting mechanism, the central purchasing agency, was established. And there is an internal market that is operating based on Eskom rules, and then the South African Power Pool membership assignment supported the separation of the NTSA, and this again has been supported by the policy department, which is the MRP. And in terms of the strategy and communication, the NTSA strategy and operating model was signed off. The website is in place, and the branding architecture is in place. So that talks to all these activities that one has to complete in order to make sure that you don't leave any stone unturned when now you're moving the NTCSA into a subsidiary of Eskom Holding. So what are the key things that are outstanding? I mentioned the fact that the department is considering the appointment of the board. That process is going through the governance process. And once that board is appointed, they will undertake special resolution to effect the merger. And National Treasury must conclude what we call government support framework agreement, because the one that is in place currently was developed when transmission was a unit in Eskom, not as a subsidiary. So now is a subsidiary autonomous institution which is going to have its own board. So the government support framework agreement needs to be amended as such. The other one is the designation of the NTCSA as a designated buyer, which I mentioned that the Minister of DMRE has approved that and submitted that to NERSA for concurrent, just waiting for that to be concurred by NERSA. So the next slide, I think we just need to update that the lender's consent, it has moved. We were anticipating that by August 2023 it will be concluded. It was not the case, so we're anticipating probably by the end of September, and the completion of the tariff debt party creditor notification by Eskom. Here the assumption is that there will be no objections, and Eskom to complete lodging of CIPC, and the commencement, the transfer of people system by beginning of September. This was dependent on the approval of the remaining license by NERSA, and NERSA has since done that. So Eskom will be moving with this activity. So what we put there, the trading, which we assume by 2023, November, is again an assumption that the lender's consent will be available. The lenders would have approved that, so which will pave way, because now we have the license, we will be having the lender's consent, and the board will be approved. So we are envisaging that by November 1st, National Transmission Company of South Africa can go live and start trading. The next slide. This slide was just indicating the support that is required from different stakeholders in order to ensure that the timelines that we set, we are able to meet. So the first one was talking about the licenses, which we were clearly indicating that the first license for transmission was approved on the 27th of July, missing the other two licenses. And last week on the 15th, NERSA have approved the outstanding license for the transmission, National Transmission Company of South Africa. So all the licenses are there. So this activity is done. So designation of NTCSA as the buyer from IPPs in line with Section 34 determination, concurrence from NERSA. The MRE has submitted that to NERSA, so NERSA must just concur on that. And in terms of land and rights, the necessary amendments were done where the right to access land, like the right that Eskom has set in Section 5 of the Electronic Communication Act 86 of 2005, that is a process that is unfolding together with the deeds office in the Department of Public Works. So it's a process that is unfolding, is at advanced stage. There are no anticipated problems there. So as I explained, and in line with the roadmap, the first step was to restructure the transmission. So transmission, you will see that it's at an advanced stage compared to other
subsidiaries, because once you have finished the transmission, there are activities which are dependent on the transmission separation for them to go through. So this slide now talks to the update in terms of now separating the distribution business in order to incorporate it as a subsidiary of Eskom Holding. So the legal, the financial separation, which was completed in March 21, it was followed by the appointment of the interim divisional board, which is in place. The financial, which were ring-fenced to only reflect the distribution play, business. The due diligence for the separation was completed, and the National Electricity Distribution Company of South Africa, which in short we call it NECSA, was registered with the Company and Intellectual Property Commission, CIPC, in October 2022. And all the PFMAs have been approved by both ministers, meaning the PFMA to establish distribution as a subsidiary of Eskom, and the second one, which is to transfer the assets and transfer everything into the distribution, that those are two PFMAs were completed. So the next step. So here are the next steps that are required in the restructuring of the distribution. Following the approval of the second PFMA, which is the transfer of assets into a distribution subsidiary, there is a need for distribution subsidiary to apply for a license. Why must they apply for a license? Because the existing distribution license was under Eskom Holding when distribution was a business, was a unit. Now is a subsidiary, they will be applying for a distribution license for NERSA. And then subsequent to that, the process to engage with lenders will follow in order to get a consent from them to separate distribution and establish distribution as a subsidiary of Eskom Holding. And another thing, Minister highlighted the fact that there is a challenge in the distribution space, especially with regard to non-payment. National Treasury developed a program wherein there is a municipal area debt write-off, and that is subject to municipalities meeting the conditions imposed on them. So that is underway. Municipalities have to apply to National Treasury, and then one of the conditions is that they must keep their current accounts up to date for a period of 12 months, wherein one-third of the area debt will be written off. So that process just started. There are a number of municipalities that have applied. The update with regard to where is that process will be provided when we provide the next update of the structure. So there is a solution for municipal area debt, which is subject to municipality complying with the conditions that Minister of Finance imposed. So like the transmission, there will be a need to appoint a board of the distribution subsidiary, which now Eskom will have to submit a list of a name recommending to Minister for consideration. That is the process that will follow. So once those processes are done, so there will be now the movement of the staff system and assets by management. So that's how far the distribution restructuring is continuing, which is the second business to follow after the transmission. Next slide. The generation. The generation will be the last one to be separated. But the separation of the generation and then the creation of a subsidiary is going to be different from the first two, which is transmission and distribution. At the beginning, I alluded to a slide that was showing the current corporate structure, where you're going to have Eskom Holding, a new holding company will be established. That holding company will be having 100% ownership in the three subsidiaries being generation, transmission, and distribution. So now, as we're moving the subsidiaries transmission out of the existing ESCOM holding, followed by the movement or the separation of the distribution company from the district from ESCOM holding, what was left is the generation unit. So that generation unit, it remains where the currently is ESCOM holding. So automatically it becomes a generation subsidiary. There won't be a need for the two PFMAs to establish a new subsidiary and then to transfer assets. So generation will remain where it was ESCOM holding, and in turn, the new holding company will have to be established. So the establishment of the new holding company will mean that there will be new holding company for ESCOM, and then what used to be ESCOM holding will be a generation subsidiary, and then it will complete the process now having new holding company with generation, transmission, and distribution. So the progress there with regard to that, with the distribution, there's a due diligence which was received from ESCOM, where the department will be assessing it and responding to ESCOM with regard to that. So the last one, the new co, which is going to be the new holding company that needs to be established in order to have to give effect to the corporate structure, which I alluded in the beginning of the presentation. At the moment where we are, ESCOM has finalized a due diligence report, and that report will be submitted to the department to assess it and then advise in terms of how the new holding company will be established. The next slide. Honorable members, I must indicate that the timelines that are reflected, these are the timelines that the department is envisaging. We looked at ESCOM timelines, and we thought that we can expedite some of the timelines. These were not the timelines that were provided by ESCOM. ESCOM provided their timelines, and we have since indicated to them that there is a need to review the timeline. So these timelines are subject to change. But we believe as a department that if we can expedite some of the activities, and an example was one of the outstanding activities, which was external activities, was the approval of the license by NERSA, which happened last week. So if we can get the lender's consent at the end of this month, and then if the process of appointment of the board can be finalized, some of the activities can be pushed forward. We are aspiring to have the operationalization of the transmission company being at the end of August. So already we passed that timeline. We'll just have to review that, given the fact that although the license from NERSA was approved, at the moment, ESCOM hasn't received that license. There are processes that still needs to be followed before the license can be issued to NTSA. So as a result, this timeline will move. The trading there, we are anticipating that by November, all outstanding activities will be finalized and it can begin trading by November. So now we will be looking at other subsidiaries, corporatization of the national distribution company that is achieved because the two PFMAs were approved, which now it paves the way for ESCOM to apply for a license from NERSA and engage on it with lenders. So we anticipate March 24 for operationalization of the distribution subsidiary, and then the commencement of trade by April 24. And then we're anticipating that once we have gone through the due diligence and advice in terms of what mechanism is going to use to establish the new holding company, that process it can be finalized by March 24, and then it can start operating as a holding company by March 24. And then the operationalization of new co-paves way for generation subsidiary now to start operating, because now it will be a fully fledged subsidiary of ESCOM holding. That was the last slide. Honorable members, thank you very much for listening to the update on the restructuring of Eskom Holding.
Chairperson.
Honorable Modisa, can you please assist me? My network is really... Can you just help me to take the questions?
Okay, Chair.
Just for the ease of the flow of the meeting, please.
Okay. No, thank you very much, department led by the minister. Let me welcome your report. Now I give to the member, honorable members, to ask questions. I'll see by raising of your hand. Honorable members, here is a presentation in front of you. Okay, I see a hand of Honorable Nana.
Yeah,
only hand that I see for now. Honorable Nana, the platform is yours.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to everyone. Chairperson, this meeting was supposed to start it 10 o'clock. It started 9 minutes after 10, precisely because the chairperson of the select committee had difficulties in connecting. And now he can't proceed to chair this meeting because of connectivity issues. I want to submit, Chairperson, that this is a clear testament that we cannot continue like this. Other select committees are now sitting physically in Parliament. I think we must do the same. Otherwise, we stand a risk of losing out on the stewardship and leadership of the chairperson and other members who might have a contribution to make, but because of connectivity issues, they just wouldn't. So I really want us to consider going back physically for our committee meetings. I wanted to check with the minister and the department. we will recall that indeed the president made an announcement during the State of the Nation address. I think it was last year, and subsequent to that, he also appointed the Minister of Electricity. Both the Minister of Electricity and the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy, plus amongst other trade unions, NUMSA, were opposed to the President's announcement. So I would want to know from the Minister as to how far has he gone in terms of engaging the various role players that I've just mentioned? How much of an impact does this have in his work and the work of the department in discharging a directive from the president? Secondly, Mr. Ngadimeng has mentioned that you know they are awaiting an approval from people that are owed money by Eskom. Now, what I want to check, we will be restructuring Eskom into three entities, but the debt that Eskom has is a debt that they took as one unitary Eskom before restructuring. How are you seeing the apportioning of that debt to these various entities? In other words, how do you see the debt that currently Eskom owes being allocated to various, to various entities that would come as a result of Eskom's restructuring? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nana. I see a hand of Honorable Magwala.
Good morning, Chair. Chairperson, my network is a bit bad, man, for just arriving in Landoka in a town now. Can you just allow me the next 5 minutes, then you can pass on to someone else? Then I will just indicate.
Let me see whether there are other hands. Oh, unfortunately, Honorable Magwala, I'll give to the department to respond because I don't see. Honorable Chair of the Committee, do you have anything to say before I can give back to the Minister and his team? Chairperson of the committee, do you have anything to say? No. Honorable Minister and your team, can you respond to the question that was asked by Honorable Nana?
Thank you, Chairperson. And thanks to Mr. Nana for his question. The decision to restructure Eskom is not the decision of a single minister. It's a decision made by cabinet, which we are given responsibility as the DPE to implement together with the board. So, the question of other colleagues on cabinet, I'm not sure exactly what Mr. Nana is referring to there, but as far as we are concerned, there's one government in South Africa, there's one cabinet in South Africa, and that cabinet has decided that we move in this direction. As far as the unions are concerned, there's various levels of engagement with the unions. For example, I was with the National Union of Mine Workers yesterday for about 4 hours at the workshop that they were having on the just energy transition, where once again there were different voices, but we will continue to interact with the unions on this matter. But as you also know, that the restructuring issue for some has become a political football. And we've got to ask the question, what is in the best interest of the country? And what is it that we are leaving behind for future generations? Having pointed out to you in my opening remarks that these sorts of restructuring processes take a long time to settle down if we look at international experience. The second level at which unions are engaged is within Eskom itself, and that happens through a consultative forum that ESKIN has established. We, of course, don't attend that meeting, but we are aware that there are regular consultations in that particular regard as well. Thirdly, I think it's important to mention that there are not going to be any job losses as far as restructuring is concerned, and that what we have is, as we pointed out in the presentation, a separation of functions, but also the architecture of a new electricity system being put in place within South Africa itself. On the question of Eskom debt, this is one of many issues that at a technical level is being worked upon. And Mr. Nana is absolutely right that the debt was taken on at a, let's call it, corporate level within Eskom. And as we go through this process, firstly, there have already been consultations with certain groups of lenders that impact upon different elements of the functions of Eskom. And there are further consultations that are still occurring between Eskom management and groups of lenders that will be impacted. But by and large, there's an understanding, particularly given the debt relief that was provided by government through the Treasury in assuming some of the Eskom debt, or rather bringing it on the balance sheet of the sovereign as a whole. And that has actually lightened the burden as far as Eskom debt is concerned. So one of the many processes that I outlined earlier on, i.e. moving of people, moving of accounts, creation of separate accounts, separate IT systems, and yet joined up in some kind of way, including the financial issues such as debt or capital raising, all part of the mix that is being worked through currently. And that is why I said at the outset that we are in the middle of those processes at the moment. And once we have absolute clarity, we'll be able to make some pronouncements in that regard as we go. So once again, Chairperson, thank you very much for this opportunity to give you an update on the restructuring process. And we'll avail ourselves over a period of time to give you further clarity. I see Mr. Nana's hand is up again, Chairperson. But I leave it to you to manage that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, to answer the question that was asked by Honorable Nana. I think you responded very well. So, but let me give back to, again, I can see his hand again. Maybe he needs clarity. Maybe he's not satisfied about your answers.
I'm Honorable, also back to the person.
Hello?
I said, Honorable Makwala, I'm also backstabled.
Okay, no, yes. No, let me give Honorable Nana and then I'll give you back again, Honorable Makwala. Honorable Nana?
Chair, it's not a follow-up. I'm happy to come after Honorable Makwala.
Okay. Thank you. Honorable Makwala?
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the session. Greetings to the department and honorable members and the staff and everyone that is in the meeting. I think, Chairperson, for me is to ask one or two questions in terms of this. I want to know, in terms of this division, that the cabinet, as the minister has said it, that it's not solely the minister that has done it. This thing was approved by the cabinet in terms of that. I'm very much interested in terms of the workers. But I see on the report it says no one was going to lose their job. But I also want to know, in terms of transferring the assets of the workers in terms of their pensions and everything, it's still going to remain the same. The benefits are still going to be the same. And then secondly, are these entities that have been established in terms of these divisions of Eskom, are these divisions 100% owned by the government, or is there any private people that are going to be owning shares in this thing? Because we must safeguard the privatization of Eskom, that we have been calling, that Eskom doesn't need to be privatized in terms of that. Those are the two questions that I wanted to ask from the minister. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makwala. Honorable Nana.
Yeah, thanks once again, Chairperson. This matter, Chair, is unrelated to the topic at hand, but as the minister will know, that sometimes we do take advantage of the executive's presence in our meetings to ask these questions anyway. Chair, an announcement has been made that there will be a holding company that will actually be overarching all our SOEs. And pundits and analysts have expressed different opinions. But in the main, analysts and economists seem to be positive. However, the common denominator in their comments is the composition of the board of the holding company. I would want to check with the minister how much work has been done in this regard, and can it take South Africans into confidence that the appointment of members to this board will not be based on the card this a particular person carries, but it will be based on being a South African and in possession of the required skills. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Nana. For now, I don't see any hand. I'll give back to the minister to answer.
Honorable Modise.
Oh, yes, Honorable Chair of this committee.
I just want perhaps for the minister to respond holistically to all the questions. These are the questions that I had prepared after listening to the presentation. Let me start off by appreciating the presentation led by the preface made by the minister, as well as the senior official from the Department of Public Enterprises. I basically have the following questions. Minister, perhaps it would be good if you can once again, just as a point of emphasis, with the noises that are being made out there, that there is an intention by the state to actually sell Eskom, that perhaps you may use this opportunity to re-emphasize what you have said before, that Eskom will not be sold and Eskom will not be privatized. I think it is important because there's a lot of things that are being said in the public, including traditional media and social media. So my first question is, as Eskom is being separated into three divisions, what are the arrangements in respect of the workers of Eskom at Eskom's payroll? How will the restructuring of Eskom impact on the workers? Will they be transferred to the different divisions, or there will be retrenchment? It is important that we are upfront with those issues so that we give comfort both to the workers but also to the citizens of the country that there are plans in place, including social plans, including severance packages if there will be retrenchments.